great to be able to just share a little bit this afternoon with you. Isn't it been fantastic so far? I'm reminded of just over a year ago, my wife and I became grandparents for the first time. And this new life entered our lives and started to transform them. It was like a whole new sphere of existence. One of the jokes in our family, and of course grandparents only get the good bits, don't they, is that granddad, me, had never changed a nappy of his granddaughter. Well, why would I? I'm a grandfather and all I want are the good bits. And I've done plenty of those before, so why go back into them? But last Friday was the first time granddad had the opportunity to look after Lila on his own. Lila's mum was working in my study at home in Chinham. My wife was out working, so it was down to me. Now, Lila's at that stage where sometimes she's a little bit coy around men, but there was no one else around and no one else she knew. So as I took her to rhyme and sing at the library or the ducks at one of the ponds or got her an ice cream, it was only me. And so she'd reach out her arms to me and go, I want him on this rare occasion. We got later in the day and the aforementioned happened. The nappy was full, it was smelly, and I thought, okay, today's the day when I have to change the nappy for the first time of my granddaughter. Took her upstairs, found the nappies, couldn't find the wipes. So said, oh, where are the wipes? At which point my daughter, Gracie, came out of her studies. Oh, it's okay, I'll do it. Result. I actually did change a nappy later on, but it was a wet one, so it wasn't too bad. New life entered into our family's life. And I'm going to pick up on that a little bit more as we go through. But the other thing that came to mind for me in preparing for today was that there's been a survey done twice over the last 10 years. And in that survey, more than 40% of adults in the UK say that they believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They have questions about what it exactly means and looks like, but they say they believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's a pretty high percentage, if you ask me. And so as I come to this afternoon, I'm assuming that because you're here, you are at least open to the idea of resurrection. That my task today is not to convince you or show you proofs or evidences, but I simply want to share a few benefits, three benefits, about the resurrection. As we think about new life, and I hope you've picked that up, that that's our theme, we often speak about new life at Easter, don't we? Or at this time of year, as we look in the garden, we see those things that appeared so dead and looked like they had no life in them suddenly starting to sprout again. We use the phrase new life. But what do we mean when we say new life? Do we mean something that was non-existent, coming into existence for the first time? 2 years ago, my granddaughter was not here. Now she is. Do we mean something being renewed or revived in the way that furniture can be restored and we can say it's new, or the spring garden starts to blossom and we say, look at the new life there. It appeared dead, but actually there was life still in it. Do we mean new in terms of the thing that's come last? The thing that was before is the oldest. The thing that comes latest is the newest. It's just a matter of time. I think the resurrection carries aspects of all three of those definitions of new, as well as a lot more. And I want to just pick up on three things. Firstly, Jesus' resurrection ushers in a whole new sphere of existence. For my daughter and her husband, there was no daughter of theirs. There was no granddaughter. And now there is. And the sphere of our existence is changing moment by moment for them more than us. But week by week, month by month, a whole new sphere comes into play. With Jesus rising from the dead, a whole new sphere of existence is ushered in which it begins with him and his resurrection. It's a sphere in which death is overcome. Jesus passed through death, came out the other side, never to die again. He wasn't like the spring garden, just being revived, but then dying back, revived and dying back. No, he passed through death. He wasn't resuscitated. It wasn't that he wasn't really dead and somehow we just kind of got him going again. No, he was dead. But he passed through and out the other side, never to die again. It's the beginning, if you like, of the death of death. I love that phrase. The death of death has begun. And with it, all the companions that go along with it. What are those companions? Well, sickness and sin and suffering, and judgment and all those negative things and depression and mourning and crying, all those things that we encounter in this life. As Jesus brings this new sphere of existence into being, the beginning of the demise of those things is coming into place. It's also a sphere in which friendship with God is unhindered. Access to Him is just totally unfettered. I have unrestricted access to knowing God and to enjoying His peace and His love and His grace in that sphere of existence that Jesus ushered in. It's a sphere in which there is new life, ushered in by His resurrection. Because of that, and secondly, Jesus' resurrection makes it possible for people to experience Him and experience that life today. It's not only a sphere that Jesus exists in. It would have been all right for Jesus, wouldn't it, if He's in this new sphere of existence, but we just go, well, nice for you up there, nice for you over there, but we couldn't enter in. But the second thing that comes from the resurrection is we can start to taste and experience that new sphere of existence right now, right today. We can have foretastes, as it were, of new life. A guy called Paul, he wrote a number of letters that got into our Bibles, and we heard one quote of his earlier, and that quote comes from one of his letters, and it says, "If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation." If you read that literally, it says this: if anyone is in Christ, new creation. It's like there's an excitement to it, a proclamation to it, a declaration. It's not a proper grammatically English sentence. It's anyone in Christ, new creation. Why? Because those who have accepted Christ, those who have responded to this message of resurrection, have changed to such an extent, have experienced life to such an extent that they call themselves new, and Paul calls them new. Now, they haven't passed through the death and through death and come out the other side quite like Jesus has, but they do experience foretastes of peace and joy and life and renewal. You hear people who have experienced this newness in Christ, words like this they'll use. They'll say, "It's like I was living a life that was black and white, and now I see in color." Or, "It's like there was a great weight that was lifted off me." Or they speak of peace and love filling their hearts. That's been the testimony of millions of people through history and alive today who use unique language to describe this foretaste, this experience of this new sphere of existence brought in by Jesus, but tasted now in their own lives. Of course, they and we know that in this world, we know it through our own lives and looking around us or looking at the media, that this world is still full of this kind of hardship and destruction and anger and sin and suffering, and we encounter some of that ourselves, don't we? But if we said yes to this resurrection, we're able to call out to this God and say, "God, would you give me that peace, and would you give me that love and that grace and that resource that I need to get through this part of my life?" We don't escape it all in this day, but we can call on the resurrected one to give us what we need in this day. Thirdly, Jesus' resurrection gives hope for the future. Jesus has ushered in this new sphere of existence. Jesus has enabled us to taste and have foretastes and encounters with Him, so we know what this new existence is like, but we know we're waiting for a day. A day when that new sphere of existence comes into fullness. A day when we fully enjoy that death-defeating life that Jesus has come. The day when everything is brought to completion and everything is made right. And we know that it's just a matter of time.
It's like when Jesus died and rose again, a clock started ticking, and we don't know when the hour will be. We know that. We understand that. But the beginning of death has begun, and the beginning of the death of suffering has begun. And we know that one day, it's a matter of time when this new sphere of existence will be fully here, and we in Christ will celebrate with him, and there'll be no more suffering and no more dying and no more pain and no more crying, and all the injustices in the world that we see will be put right, and we'll have a new heaven and a new earth, and we hope for that day, don't we? We hope for that day. Paul again, he says, if Jesus has been raised, then as surely as the harvest follows the first fruits or the first signs of harvest, as surely as night follows day, if Jesus has been raised, then those who are in Christ will also be raised. There's a certainty to it. And that's our hope. That's what resurrection gives us. That if we've said yes to the resurrection, if we said yes to this Jesus, then as surely as he came through death and out the other side, we too will know that fullness of the. We pray because we know there's a future. We live differently in this day because we know that death is not the end. We encourage people in this day. We seek wholeness for people and for this world because we know it has a future. We live in light of this hope. And we're motivated to act because we know that day will come. Suffering will be dealt with. Everything will be put right. And death itself will die. We're like expectant parents. Expectant parents know that something's about to change. Particularly the mother gets signs of it, probably pretty regularly. But the baby hasn't yet arrived. But they know there's a day coming. And if we've said yes to Jesus and his resurrection, we live as those expectant parents, knowing that we've tasted something. We've encountered him. We've had wonderful experiences and provision from Jesus in this life. But we know there's a whole lot more to come when everything will be made right, when we will live in the fullness of peace, the fullness of joy, the fullness of his life and his grace. And so we look forward to that day. We live between those times. It's coming, but it's not quite here. But it is coming. It is coming. I want to invite you. I don't know whether some of you have ever encountered this resurrection life. I don't know if you've ever said yes to this Jesus. But you can know a foretaste today. You can know Jesus coming and living by his Spirit in you today. And I'm going to pray. And if you want to follow this prayer, echo it in your hearts, please do. There may be some of you that want to say yes again. I've said yes before, but I want to say yes again. Do you know in the book that I wrote some years ago, in the foreword, I put this. I said, thank you to my wife for saying yes, not just on the first day, but saying yes time and time and time again, because she needs to. And there are times when we have to come back to Jesus and go, yes, and I still mean yes, and I still mean yes. And maybe my yes has slipped a little bit, but I want to say yes again. So I'm going to pray, and if you want to echo it in your hearts, then please do. Jesus, we thank you that death could not hold you. We thank you that you overcame death, you rose, you were raised to life, and you hold the keys of life for us. And Lord Jesus, this day, I want to say yes to you. I want to live in light of your resurrection. I want to live tasting and encountering the peace and the joy and the life and the grace that you provide. And I want to ask you to come and live in my life by your Holy Spirit and bring me into that sphere of existence that I know exists in you. And Jesus, when that day comes and you return, when everything is put right, I want to be one of those celebrating with you in that new heaven and new earth where you will reign and love will reign. I say yes to you in Jesus' name. Amen.